Baptist Church for our Sunday evening service. We're glad that you came back for some more this evening, even though we had a full morning this morning.
This is the day, this is the time, this is the morning when God's Son would be the sacrifice. This is the place, this is the hill, where He would lay down His life to do His Father's will. All hell seemed to cheer as the hammer struck the nails. Time stood still in fear as death claimed it would prevail and take away the keys. This is the day. Thank you.
worship and stay right here, Brother Hector. I'm not going to walk around tonight, so I didn't put the bell on.
Good to have visitors here with us tonight. Thank you for visiting with us. We hope you'll enjoy yourself and we'll be back to worship with us again in the future. We have had a wonderful day in the Lord here at Lock Haven Baptist Church, and we are thankful that you came back. Now, after church, ladies, you're welcome to take the Easter lilies up front, the ones on the ground. Don't take this one, the ones on the ground. You can take them home, plant them. If you have a neighbor, give one away. If you want to take more than one, kind of sit back a minute and let everybody else come by. If there's any left, take as many as you want, but they're there to be a blessing. Now, those was given to us by the Osceola Memory Garden, so I would ask that if you take one, on the front of it is a card that has their name and address on it. It would be a blessing if you'd write them from our congregation and tell them thank you for sending these. They didn't have to do it, but they wanted to make our church look beautiful. And they send poinsettias every Christmas. So it's a blessing that they have been to us. So if you take one, a note of thank you goes a long way. And, you know, we need to be a grateful people. So we have a lot to be thankful for. We really do. I know everybody has asked, what's on my nose? I got whipped by a stick down at the creek mowing the grass. And I found something to be thankful for. At least it wasn't my eyeball. Thankful people go a long way. So be thankful. If you take one, just take a minute. I'm sure that they would appreciate it. I remember one year, they actually posted letters on their website. We are the only church that ever said thank you. And all, they do it for anybody that's ever preached a funeral for them. They do it year by year. So quite a blessing. And I understand it's part of their advertisement. But there's other ways they can advertise. They can. So be thankful to them if you do take them. And if you forget, we won't chastise you. But try your best to say thank you in some way, shape, form, fashion. Even if it's calling, leaving a message. Genesis 4. We're going to go through Genesis 4, 1 through 15 tonight. You know, we've started this chapter, this book. Verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I try once a year to go through a whole book, and I believe last count, in the 11 years we've been here, I think we have gone through 17 books of the Bible. So we'll just keep doing that as the Lord sees fit. This is actually the second time we've gone through Genesis. I went through it with the men's Sunday school class years and years ago. Actually, probably in 08. So that was quite a few times years ago. I got a date on here. 11-2-08 Sunday school class, men. So that was quite a while ago, and I'm sure the men remember every bit of it. So they are checking me out, making sure I'm going right on this. But tonight, we're in Genesis chapter number 4. We're going to read through verses 1 through 15, and we're going to talk about Cain and Abel for a little while. Then we'll be released and be able to enjoy the rest of our evening together, either fellowshipping together or at home, your choice. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen?
If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10. And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid, and shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. In chapters 4, as we read this, we notice there's several things that have never happened up to this point before, such as in verses 16 through 24, you find the very first civilization that is mentioned in the Bible. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod and in the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mijael, and Mijael begot Methuselah, and Methuselah begot Lamech. And Lamech took unto him wives, and the name of the one that died, and the name of the other Zillah. So you have the beginning of civilization. If you'd read on down to verse number 24, you'd see that Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. Thereafter, Abel was slain. You have the first birth recorded in verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and have gotten a man from the Lord. You also have the first offerings of worship in verses 3 through 5. There, you have Cain bringing an offering, Abel bringing an offering, and these are acts of worship. And in verse number 8, you have the very first murder that is recorded in the Bible, right there in verse. So you have a lot of new things that take place in Genesis chapter 4. Of course, the name Genesis is beginnings, and so there's a lot of new things that are taking place, because up until this time, you know, the earth was without form and void there. Then in 6 days of creation, God created everything that was there. That is, 7 days he rested. Then, of course, the fall of Lucifer took place, and he came down as subtle and joined himself to a serpent there, and the serpent beguiled Eve. Adam, of course, just chose to sin and took of that, and God's judgment was placed upon them. And then in Genesis chapter 3, in the latter part, God drove them out of Eden and placed a cherubim there, with a flaming sword to turn every way to keep the tree of life. And so now they were separated there from the tree of life. So you have the two sons in verses 1 and 2, Cain and Abel, that was born. And they were born into what we call the fall of men. Sin had taken its hold. And now we see as it goes forth by one man, sin entered into the world. In Psalms 51, if you would, Psalms 51 and verse number 5, Psalms 51, verse number 5, They were born to sinful parents. So therefore, because of Adam's sin, the bloodline that was passed upon them. In Psalms 51 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "Here, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Look over in Psalms 58 and verse 3. Psalms 58 and verse 3. And notice what it says there. "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." That's the result of sin. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. None escape this. From the womb, in conception, we're born sinners into this world. And as soon as we're born into this world, dear friend, we are headed for a destination to meet the man Jesus. And whether we accept him or reject him is a choice we have to make upon the age where we can have understanding that we are sinner before God and we are responsible with what we do for Christ and what we do with Christ. And so Cain, of course, back there means possessions are acquired, and it's kind of a characteristic of all human race. We like to acquire things. How many of you in the last 10 years have decided to have a yard sale? Or have moved? Lord, have mercy. You move and you have all, you've acquired things that you know, you don't even remember that you have, you know, the possessions that are there. I mean, they just come. They pile up. You know, and so we're all like Cain. Cain's name means possession or acquired. And he was a farmer. The Bible says he was a tiller of the ground. And as we notice in verse 17 there in chapter 4, he ran from the presence of the Lord. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and named that city after the name of his son Enoch. So he ran from the presence of the Lord. He went off to build his own city and his own place. Now Abel means vapor because his life was so short, the shortness of physical life. James chapter 4 tells us that our life is like a vapor there. And so these names mean something. Now they were both had jobs or they had professions that they followed. Cain, a farmer. Abel was a herder or a shepherd or a pilgrim, you know, and he moved with the flock so that he could have them grazing lands and water and such as that. Now, he builds no city, but his whole concern is the will of God, the way of God, and the work of God. How did you get that out of that? Because he did exactly what God asked. He was accepted by God. Now, God's no respecter of person. When you read that, it says, well, God had no respect unto Cain and had respect unto Abel. It's not about being a respecter of persons. It means that this one was accepted and that one was not accepted. Both of them brought offerings, two types of worship. Both were religious of some sort, because they brought them to God. But religion alone by itself is not good. It leads us to do things in the human fashion, or the fashions of the hands of men, and we begin to justify ourselves. And that's what he did. Cain brought the offerings, the fruit of the ground, and no doubt, listen, it was a hard job. Remember, at this time, the earth has been cursed from the fall. It wasn't like before when they were in Eden and they could just go out and pick and enjoy. It was watered, it was fruit. Now they had to pick a piece of ground, clear the thorns and thistles because the earth has been cursed. They had to plow the ground. Remember, by the sweat of your brow, now you're going to eat thereof. So he brought the hard works of his hand. And I mean, in our minds, you know, we think, Well, Lord, I've worked very hard for this, and no doubt it was probably a beautiful basket. I can never pronounce this thing, but at Thanksgiving time, what is that corn-looking thing that's twisted? See, a cornucopia. Some of them things are beautiful. I mean, it takes a lot of work, putting that thing together. But that is not what God required. God didn't require this at all. If you would, look with me in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter number 17. And look at verse 24. Acts 17 and verse 24. God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temples made with hands. Listen to what he says. Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he need anything, seeing he giveth all to all life and breath and all things. He doesn't need the worship of our hands. He can't approach with the works of his hands. Now listen, after we're saved and after we trust the Lord as our personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, by grace we accept the atonement through Christ, we are ordained to good works. Ephesians 2:10. Good works comes after. We don't show up with good works and say, Lord, accept me because I've done some great things. I mean, I've farmed a pretty good piece of ground here. I can hear and look in Cain's mind. I mean, he's weighing it out. Abel over there, wandering around in the field with the sheep, grazing here. Who knows? Perhaps he even had to rent a portion of field from Cain for grazing rights. I don't know. He may have to have pasture. Going over there, bringing the sheep by the water, letting them drink a little bit of water. Doesn't seem like hard work. But what God required was by faith and by offering of the shed blood. We get that from whenever Adam and Eve come out of hiding with fig leaves covering up, and God had removed the fig leaves, and he slew the animals there and made them coats of coverings and showed them what it was going to require from here on out. And in Genesis 3:15, he promised us a redeemer through the seed of the woman there. So it was a beautiful product in Cain's mind, but it only pleases the natural man. The natural man is dead. The natural man and all of its doings, God says here in Acts, and I don't need anything from natural man. In other words, we better be very careful that we think we bring anything to the table that God needs. What we need is God in us, the hope of glory, working through us so that other men may see our good works and it brings glory to the Father. Of course, Abel brought the firstling of his fruits, of his flock there, and the blood that was shed. Remember what John said as he was there kneeling down with a couple of his disciples. What did John say in John chapter 1, verse 29? Behold, the cornucopia of God. No. Behold, the Lamb of God. This is what God required. The innocent for the guilty. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, according to his mercy. The shedding of the innocent was always a picture of what we as a world today honor Resurrection Sunday. It was a picture of the Lamb of God that would come. It was a picture of what would take for us to enjoy eternal life with God. And that was that the Son would come and die as atonement for our sins. Look with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. Verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Because there's no beauty in this offering. What did the Bible say about it, about our Lord and the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53? No beauty. No comeliness. There's no beauty in this. There's no beauty in what God required. Because listen, sin is ugly. God said the works here. And what's amazing to me here, Brother Price, is this. Back over here when Cain shows up and he brings that, God doesn't thump him in the ear and say, would you get out of here and go do what your brother's doing? You know what God did in his grace? He said, Cain, if you only do well, you'll be accepted also. Is that not what he said? Let's go back and see. Go back over in Genesis chapter 4. Verse 3, in the process of time, it came to pass, and Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, offering unto the Lord. Verse 4, and Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect, or the Lord accepted accepted the offering which Abel brought. He had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Listen, verse 5, but unto Cain, to his offering, he had no respect. He didn't accept it. And Cain was wroth, and his countenance fell, and the Lord said, Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Listen to the grace of God in that. He brought the wrong offering. He brought the wrong thing. And how many times have we approached God with the wrong way, the wrong attitude, the gimme, 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 gimme. And God says, listen, hold up here. I'm God. I don't need anything from you. If you do right, you approach me properly. We have a good relationship and we'll work through this. Though my way may be different than what you desire, it is the best way. I mean, this is the grace of God. He's looking at Cain, and he's approaching Cain, and Cain's mad. I mean, he's wroth. He's acting like a two-year-old at Walmart, checkout, wanting that piece of candy bar right there. Or a 27-year-old who wants that new toy in the gun shop, or whatever. You know, we all throw our little two-year-old tantrum. I didn't want chicken tonight, honey. I wanted hamburger. Your sorry tail up and go down to Burger King. Have it your way. Real simple. Nobody holding you back. You just want to be old grouchy bear and fuss at her for a little bit because you had a hard day at work. He's raw. His counsel. God didn't like my cornucopia. Good night. Help us. We act the same way, but God doesn't run off. God, listen, this is how God worked with Adam and Eve. When they sinned, God came back to them in the Garden of Eden. It's been God's way all the way up to this point. And listen, dear friend, it does not change. He leaves the 99, he comes for the one. God's way is always the same. The righteous need not. Nothing from God, because we have accepted the righteousness of Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we're walking with God. It's that one that's without, the backslider that's without. That's why he says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one that is lifted up and doing great. No. fallen. Bear ye one another's burdens. This is what he's doing right here, dear friend. He's not written Cain off. I'm telling you, you better watch your attitude, dear friend. His attitude led to this murder. God's dealing with it. God's trying to convict him. God's giving him direction. This is not the word of God. Is it not for instruction and correction? That's what it's for. The word of God. He's here. He's talking. He's speaking. Cain. Cain. Listen. Your offering will be accepted. Don't be wroth. Don't be mad. Don't be upset. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, listen to what it says, sin lieth at the door. Listen, sin, I tell you, dear friend, sin never leads up evil. It always leads down evil. Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve, disobedience. Now she's bearing painful birth, subject to her husband. The earth is cursed. Man is working by the sweat of his brow. Hey, guys, you understand why we can't have fourth night all night long? God said, because of sin. Smash, brother. What y'all playing nowadays? Tell me. Y'all keep me up to you. What's the next game y'all play? Smash, brother? They don't want to tell me because they know I'm going to talk about it. I was close with it. It's Super Smash Brothers. You know why you can't spend all night long playing Super Smash Brothers? Because it goes against God's plan now, and because sin led us to Super Smash Brothers. It makes you lazy. Lazy mind, a idle mind, and late nights causes nothing but trouble and heartache. That goes for your solitaire, too. What you up at 3 o'clock in the morning playing solitaire? Go for a walk. Get your Bible and walk around in circles. And Adam and Eve. As soon as you start, you'll fall asleep. You won't even get through one verse. You can play 167 levels of Candy Crush. I'm a win. I can't sleep. You get the Bible. Just tomorrow I'm going to tell the truth. Get the Bible, you start reading. Slobber, like you back in elementary school. Slobber running down your mouth. Man, you slept really hard. No, it was rough. His attitude. If he only corrected right here, this little tantrum he was throwing, dear friend, it would not have. God's dealing with him. This is the Word of God. This is what men of God should stand in the pulpit and proclaim as the Word of God, and it should prick your heart. You don't come to church to be tickled. Tickling and itching ears is what this world wants, and I'm telling you, dear friend, it leaves us astray. Amen. We're sinners. Every last one of us. Myself included. Every preacher that ever walked this earth is a sinner. Everyone. And we need the Bible. And the Word of God's there, and it's pricking, it's poking, it's prodding. Listen, just do right. Do right. Do right. And then we see the mercy and grace of God all the way to the end of this thing as we got down here. This is amazing. Now he's bargaining with God. Listen, God bargained. I mean, he's bargaining. God, this is too much. And when people see me out there, they're going to slay me. I said, okay. Is that? It's amazing how God is dealing with Cain. Cain didn't have to end up the way he did. What did he say down here? Okay, Cain, the ground's already cursed. It's already bad. Verse 11. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond. You just going to be wandering around. You got to have your hoe. You're going to rake, going to cultivate. And you're supposed to get two bushels, and you're going to get 5 ears of corn. That's it. It's going to be hard, Cain. Verse 13, and Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. That's where most of us live. Most of us, when we get in trouble with God, we're sorry we got caught. And we're worried about the punishment we're going to bear. He says, too much, I can't bear it. Listen to the mercy of God. I mean, this is mercy. 14, behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth. And from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive, a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. Listen to what God says. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now, of course, there's been all kinds of speculation on this mark. All kinds of speculation. The only thing I see here, Brother Jim, is this is a mark of protection. God said, listen, okay, here's my mercy once again. I dealt with you up there. You went ahead and killed your brother. I came and talked with you. You denied it. You said, no, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know. Cain. Isn't it amazing all these questions God's asked throughout His Word He already knows the answer to? You think it's changed today? Isn't the Holy Spirit working on your heart? Talking to you? He knows the answer. He just wants you to know it. He wants you to see where you're at. He's dealing with you. He's merciful. He's kind. And he says, okay, I realize it's a little bit too hard. So God said, not only here's a mark of protection, if somebody comes to slay you, they're going to have to deal with me sevenfold. I don't even know the math on that. Who's got the math on that? What's sevenfold? What's that mean? Seven times? So if they smack him one time, they're going to get smacked seven times? That's not, I mean, that's mercy, dear friend. That's the grace of God you're seeing right here on a person who is contrary to anything God wants. Contrary. Came with religion, works of the hands. It wasn't accepted. God dealt with him. He murdered his brother. God returns, deals with him again. He says it's too much. God says, okay. Now, he didn't remove all that hard tilling. So you see, some of you are already clicking it up in your mind. You know, got your, what's that board the Chinese people use? The little slide the balls here, slide the ball there, and they add it up. What's it called? Some of you got your activists working. Move it. I can send this way, and I can send that way. If I send a little bit on this side, hey, let me tell you something. Sin has a consequence. It does. God's merciful. God's forgiving. Faith and just forgive us. Dear friend, the consequence of this sin still abided with Cain. Still. God forgives you, but you got to live through the consequences. He's dealing with him. He's back again. Dealing with him. Listen, the only way for our sin to be covered, if Cain would have only got this, I said, wow. Hey, Abel, God just told me, dealing with me, said my cornucopia wasn't good enough. You think you can use this cornucopia to swap me for that little lamb over there? Oh yeah, that'd be a pretty good deal. Brought that lamb. Abel could have had mutton and cornucopia, and Cain could have brought his firstling of his flock and offered to the Lord. And two brothers could have went off serving God in harmony. Amen. But his attitude, his rejection of God's wooing, led him to where he's at. And he lives with the consequences. That, listen, if that was the way then, the way now of approval from God is through a substitution. A substitutional sacrifice was the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you find this here kind of amazing. I do. We just talked about the blood sacrifice on Easter Sunday. You remember last Sunday, Brother Elvis Sneedham was supposed to be with us. He couldn't be with us because his brother-in-law passed away, and he had to go do the funeral. And God put it right here, and here on Easter Sunday, we're talking about the blood sacrifice. In the book of Genesis, remember, God's ways are not better than our ways. That's an amazing way to close out Easter Sunday. Accepting the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ.